rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the beat, the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessing flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Ryan, would you please open us up with a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this great church and everybody here today. I pray that you will bless this the singing and the service to come, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, if you want to take your hymnals, turn to page number 421. Page number 421, the first Noel. Page number 421. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
Their gold and myrrh and frame. King of Israel.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. This time we will have our announcements.
All right, everybody. Sorry about the not handing out the bulletins. We are having a little bit of technical difficulties on the printer, but just follow along with me, if you would, in spirit. Our verse of the week is Romans 8, verse 18, where the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's Romans 8, 18. Obviously, we're at our first week service for the 10:30 a.m. And then tonight we're going to be having actually something a little bit different. We're having our men's preaching night. Amen. So I think that there are three men that are signed up to preach for that. So that'll be exciting to see. I'll go over the rules a little bit more in depth for that when we get to it. But just the standard rules of obviously no heresy, please. Make sure you're preaching out of the King James for sure. Okay. And make sure you're wearing a shirt and tie and everything else that along that goes with that. But we'll go over the rules again when we go to preach, and it'll be a random draw for who gets paid for preaching. And then Wednesday, we're going to have our midweek service. We're going to have our Bible study. It'll be 1 Corinthians 7, part number 2. So we'll be talking about not defrauding each other and those kinds of things. And then our soul winning times, we have the soul winning after the service, obviously, that'll be at 1 p.m. And then we have our Saturday soul winning at 10:30 a.m. For the salvation total, did this get updated, Kylie?
Yes,
it did. Okay, so we have 7 salvations for October, and we had 6 in November. So that brings our total to 90 for 2025. So praise God for that. Closing in on 100, which will be pretty awesome. Like I said, we're having the men's preaching night. Oh, and tonight, we're having the pie social. So we have a couple pies that we're bringing. Everybody else, I'm sure, bringing a couple pies. So we're doing that kind of. Not to replace Thanksgiving per se, but that'll be kind of the theme for the men's preaching night. Be good time. So at least if you preach a bad sermon, you get some pie after. little consolation pie afterwards, okay?
The pie.
The sermon was bad, but I got some pumpkin pie, right? Yeah. But I'm sure you guys will do. Last time the sermons were all great, so I'm excited to hear what the men have tonight as well. And then also this morning we have Brother Paul preaching the sermon, and I'm thankful for that because with the driving back up and down from Vancouver, I could have wrote in a sermon, but I figured it'd be better. Someone else would have more time to study it out. So Brother Paul already had a sermon ready, so that worked us out. He'll be preaching the morning service. So if you haven't heard him before, better buckle up, okay? what else do we got, though? Sorry, this is a little hard to read on this. The Christmas party we have. Oh, the ladies' Christmas party. The ladies get their own Christmas party? What is up with that? There's two Christmas parties? There's no men's Christmas party? Okay. I don't know what's up with that. Okay, we might have to talk to Kylie after the service. But on December 13th, we have the ladies' Christmas party. So that'll be at 1 p.m. at our house is where we're doing that at. Okay, yeah. So you can RSVP with my wife, and then we're going to have, you know, food and fellowship there. Or y'all will have food and fellowship. I don't know. I'll leave the house or something like that. So it could be a true ladies' Christmas party. And then December 20th, we have the Everybody Included Christmas party, okay, at the church at 4 p.m. That'll be at the building. So we're going to have pizza and drinks and, oh, the second annual Christmas Olympics. That'll be super fun. So we'll come up with some games for that, and then I'll make a Bible trivia again. It'll be pretty gnarly like last time, so make sure you're reading the Bible. Sledding. No, they're all, like, in the building kind of Olympics, okay? We can't get too crazy now. And then for the 21st, we have our Christmas Sunday Christmas message, and then we're going to have the kids' choir singing, so I'm excited to hear all the little kids and what they got planned for that. And we have our verse of the week, lastly, before we move into birthdays, which is John 14:6 for the kids' memory verse. It's Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14:6. So that's an easy one to get some candy for all you kiddos. And it's a great verse as well that shows that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And Jesus is the only God that there is and the only God that there ever will be and the only way that we can, you know, meet God the Father, right? It's through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm sure you guys kind of are already familiar with all the stuff on as far as the family integrated stuff goes, so we're not going to really go over that. But lastly, we have the prayer request, but my wife informed me that it's actually Brother Daniel's birthday, December 2nd. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Brother Daniel. He tried to get out of it with the bulletin, but not so fast, okay?
Yeah.
And we got the piano, and Paul's in the crowd, so he can still do the so we're in good luck. So we'll sing happy birthday to Brother Daniel. Are you guys ready? Happy birthday. Let's sing it on the first. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Good singing. The happy birthdays are not the same without the woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So we definitely need that. But with that being said, we'll get into our prayer requests, and then we'll do our next song. Let's pray.
All right, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 15. Psalm number 15. As you get your grade reports handed out. Psalm number 15. right, and we'll sing it out on the first. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, doeth these things, shall never be moved, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Raymond, would you please pray for the offering?
Yeah, dear Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Again, God, thank you so much for everything you do for us as a church, God. Thank you so much with everything that you bless us, God. And thank you so much that we live in such a prosperous country, God, and in such good and safe times. I just pray that you would help us to realize it's a privilege it is to give back to you, God, and the fact that we can give anything to you at all is such a privilege and such a blessing, God. I just pray that we'd always have that attitude in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you could take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And as our custom is, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible reads, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any
of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, and she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Brother Daniel, could you pray?
All right, you stay where you are. I'm going to read one out of Psalms 90, starting verse 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. These days of our years are 80 years, and by reason of strength, they may be 80 years. Yet their strength and labor are in sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And this is what I hope to do for you today, is to help you number your days, help you manage your time. I handed out a sheet. If you don't have it, let me know. You will see that is basically your week broken down into 15-minute increments, because I want to help you manage your time, number your days, use this life, because your life is fleeting and it is disappearing a moment at a time. I was going to start with a ticking of the clock, but I figured anyone younger than me doesn't even know what that sound means, because we used to have these machines that told us the time. Now it's all your phones. But I will tell you this. You have three resources you have. You have your health, you have whatever wealth or items you have, and you have your time. You know what's interesting about time? You can't fix it. It's going one way and it is gone forever once it is gone. It is important that we number our days. And the Lord's saying, I've given you a gift of this much life. You should use it. You should go. You should be active. And today I want to help you do that. Whether young or old, we all have our time that we can manage. Let me tell you this. You see the one person who has never done anything, they're sitting on the corner, have never done anything, they're just lazing around, doing nothing, and a person who's running 15 businesses, they have their family, they see their grandchildren, they invest, they active, they go to church. You know what they have in common? The exact to the second, same amount of time. The difference is what they do with it. So today I want to hand it to you. You're like, I know many of the long hair members are like, why are we in Proverbs 31? Why are we there? It isn't today I'm talking about being a good wife. I'm talking about being a productive person. Let me tell you this. I think the most active, best example in the Bible I could find of someone detailing how they use their time was Proverbs 31. And isn't that true? A woman that managed a household of kids, servants, and that, make sure their husband's ready to go and be a leader in their area, be a judge out in the town. That is a woman who is using her time. And let me tell you this. It's not just about the women today. Men. I'm a visual learner. That's why I made these printouts. But let me tell you this. Let me give you a math question. They say sleep 8 hours. Okay, you slept 8 hours. You went to work for 8 hours. Great. How much of the day do you have left?
16.
You have 8 more hours if you go to work. You have 8 more hours. Now, many of you, no, dude, I get done from work, I'm done. No. No, you got time. You have time to do things. And that's what I'm really kind of go over this. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, in verse 4, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. And whether you take any of this, I'm a very visual learner, so I love things like this. All I want to say is, I'm here to help. Whether this works for you, just take the things I'm teaching. But if you look down this, I'll explain it really quick. You have a top, you can write what you think you want to do. And then you have, basically, I've listed 18 hours. Basically, I don't know how long how you sleep. I know we're supposed to sleep 8 hours. I have almost never done that unless it's a day off for me.
Yeah.
So there's 18. Now, if you do sleep 8 hours, you just put the first one sleep and the last one sleep, you're good. But then it's 15-minute breakdowns. And here's the thing is, you might want to do this multiple times. Maybe you want to spend a week, and I didn't put times because I don't know when you sleep. And if I put down the hours, I'm awake, some of you would be, ugh, that's gross. I didn't know that time existed. That's when I go to bed. So I didn't put the time, but you can list this if you want. And maybe you do it over 2 weeks. You do one. How do I actually spend my time? And you're just honest with you and God. What do you actually do with your time? And then maybe do another one that says, what could I be doing with my time? And you might see that there's a difference. And one thing that I thought was really interesting when I was looking at this, you know, because we always say like, man, maybe we should read our Bible 15 minutes a day, right? And you finish the Bible in a year. You're like, I just don't have time. Well, if you took one of these little lines and you just wrote 7 times, Bible, 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 and go, yeah, there's just no way I could fit that in my day. It's a little harder, I think, when it's visual. So this is why I gave you a little visual thing. But hey, just while you're looking, when I'm going through these points, look at your time, because there's way you can manage your time. Because here's the thing is, it's your one resource. It is totally equal. No person has one more moment than you in a day. But I tell you, you have a limit. And we don't know when that day and hour of our personal end is, but we know it's approaching at the same speed. So this is the point. Learn to manage your time, because the clock is ticking away. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. You go ahead and stay there. I'm going to go through a few more Proverbs before we get back to Proverbs 31. But in Galatians 6 and verse 3, it says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. Why I want you to start doing this is, hey, one reason why I have this, and if you actually fill it out and use it, be honest to yourself. Don't joke about it. You're like, well, what could I mean? You know, whether you're a man or woman, you're like, well, you know, frankly, laundry takes like 2.5 hours. No, it does not.
No.
Takes like 2 minutes to put in, dump it. You're not doing anything for an hour. The machine's working. All right, that's kind of the way, like, and here's the thing is, you know, you can get a lot more done. Now, here's the thing is, so laundry probably takes about 15, it's like when you fold and put away, I think it would be the longest. Now, there's many tips I want to give. Whether laundry, cleaning, work, there's this idea that it seems backwards, I think, for many people. Do you know if you do something more often, it's easier? Do you know if you're like, you know, I just don't got the time to do the dishes, so I'm going to use every single dish that I have, including the Tupperware, as plates, and until I'm run out of literally everything, and then I'll do dishes. Dishes are hard. Yeah, because you got like 2.5-3 hours of work. But if you actually did the dishes after every single meal, it's like 5 minutes. Yeah. And now here's the thing is, it's not just, well, you know, that's a lot. Well, here's the thing is, imagine when you run into problems. So you miss a day. If you miss a day where you do it every single day, you know, you got 15 extra minutes the next day. If it's your once a week or once every 2 weeks you do laundry and you miss that day, you've got critical issues. Like, major issues are arising. Tomorrow I got to spend 8 hours doing this task that if we did it every day, it's, you know, so. And then here's the thing is, you can take what I'm saying. I know some of you have got to do laundry day because you've got to travel to a laundromat. That makes sense. But I'm saying take the principles of this, that there's certain things you can do every single day that make it easier. And a lot of us think it's a little bit backwards. What if I just put this off, save me time, and I'll just spend a whole day just doing this one task? Well, you know, and I both know, it's easier to do 30 minutes than it is to do 3 hours. And if you have a 30-minute task that it would take you every single day, but you're like, oh, on Saturday, I'll get to it. You know, Saturday gets filled up, and it's really hard to cram in 3 hours of something repeatedly. It's a way we have to manage, and every man needs to bear his own burden and figure out how you can carry it. I'm not telling you you have to do this, but I'm just saying you may want to look at the way you can break up your time, and it may be easier to do a task that you get more things done throughout the time. Because let me tell you this, smaller things done more regularly are easier than large tasks done every now and then. Now, here's the thing is, we want to plan our day. Let me tell you, a lot of people do this. Well, if I got to get more done, I'll just sleep less. You can do that for a day or two. I get about 1 day anymore. I used to be like 4 or 5 days I could do it. Not anymore. I got about 1 day I can take away from my sleep, and then taxes come back on me and my body says, no, you're done. I don't have the army anymore. I'm too gray-headed, too hoary-headed, I guess, to do that. So I have to manage my wake hours. And that's why I didn't even add sleeping hours really on this chart. Minus, you know, you sleep. So I know some people do 9 hours. Some of you probably only do 4 hours. I don't know. That's why I don't even care how long you sleep. But hey, Proverbs 3, verse 24, it says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and the sleep shall be sweet. You know, if you're just doing what you're needing to do, it also another place that says, a laboring man, there's no sleep more sweeter. If you go out and you work an honest day, you've done what you could, you can lay down and sleep well. But it says, you know, rich man, he can't even find sleep. If you're just worried and constant, I've got to do this, man, those few hours when you can rest and recover, you don't get that, do you? I know many times in my life I've had insomnia. I don't really anymore. But it's like, it's always concerns, it's worries, it's this and that. You know, the only thing you could possibly do is just go out and work more. Go do that. And when I say work, I mean all the tasks and stress of our lives. You just do something to address that. That's the best you can do. And once your body and your mind and your spirit all know, that's all I could do today, you know, you can sleep. There are people going through troubles and dramas and stresses and chaos and crises, but they still are able to sleep. Because some way they're able to say, I've done what I could for the day. And if, let me tell you, I'm not talking about those 1 days. Hey, you know what? You're driving home, you get in a crash, your life's turned upside down. Maybe that day you ain't sleeping, but understand when you manage your time, it's not about a single day. Lord says, learn to number my days. I've talked about days, and I've given you a week, but let's think of months and years even. You know, Brother Thompson back there, I bet every morning he doesn't say, I'll see if I feel like learning Greek at 2 a.m. or whatever he says he gets up for this. Like, that's something he pre-planned. He's like, you know what? I want this. But to do this, he's not like, well, I'm just going to block off Saturday, not go to the park, not do anything with my kids, and for 6 hours, I'm just going to study Greek. Nah. He takes it in, I hope, bite-sized pieces. I forget if it's a half an hour, an hour, but he's pre-planned in the future what he's going to do. So when that time comes, and this is how you use your plan, you don't make a decision that day how you feel. Your heart is deceivable above all things. And guess what? When I wake up on Saturday, you know my first thought is I'm telling you my faults. Soul winning in the cold isn't like, yes. But I've already settled in my heart. That's what I'm doing. That's my schedule. You know what I do? I go.
Good.
That is how I make my decisions. He is learning Greek so he can edify us with the knowledge of the original languages that the Bible came in doing that. He's dedicated, I'm sure, not a day. He's not doing this for a week. I imagine year, if not years, he's already said, that's what I'm going to do. That's how you schedule. That's how you use your time. And because here's the thing is, you make a plan, you stick to it, you'll be amazed how much more gets done than when you just let your heart lead the way. Yeah. Follow your heart. Well, amazingly, my heart almost every time says, sit down and pick up your phone. And I ain't talking about doing taxes. We're talking about cat videos. So we ain't getting nothing done, all right? Don't let the heart tell you what your time should be doing, okay? Ecclesiastes 5:12, it says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of rich men will suffer him not to sleep. I just kind of covered that. Like, look, be a worker. Be a worker. Excuse me. In Proverbs, you're in Proverbs 31. Look down at verse 13. We'll start here why I think this woman is such an excellent example on how we all can manage time. Not just ladies, men, children. Here's the key thing of why you know she can use her time wisely. It says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know why things are hard and you're stressed out and why you have like a gathering 2 weeks from now and you're stressed out today about it? You don't willingly work with your hands. Right away, you're like, the least thing I want to do is work. You know, if you change that one point of your attitude, that one point, not, oh gosh, I just really don't want. No, if you're just like, I just want to work. I just want to do. I just want to get things done. I want to be active. Planning becomes way easier. Planning for your future, accomplishing stuff becomes way easier. Because if I go from, I want to see how little I can do in a day, which is the normal American attitude that we all say, we all hope, man, I can't wait until I retire. I could sit down on the side of the golf course. I've got my AI robot cleaning my dishes. I've got like, you know, I don't know, like a Roomba bringing me drinks on the beach or something, and I don't have to move, and then you die within 5 years. That's the American dream right now. But you know what's interesting? I like my neighbors, and some of those that meet her, I think she's a sweet old lady. She's 80-something years old. She is going on another year. Why? She was able to get her hands back so she can garden. Both of you would fight to their life to not have to weed. She is willing to give up her life if she can't go out and work. Because she can't be productive anymore. You know what? She plans her life around doing stuff. And you know what? That's why they're probably going to see their 90s. They're actually going to live life. Be willing to work willingly with your hands. And my goodness, that one attitude change, your time all of a sudden opens. Because you're no longer fighting like, well, I got to do this as quick as possible and be done so I can have me time. You'll get me time, I promise you. No matter how busy you are, you will get your time. But let me tell you this, be willing to work. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, it says, go to the ant, thou slugger, consider his ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provide of her meat in the summer and gather the food in the harvest. Wouldn't it be a blessing to your own life if you did not need to be watched over to get things done? How, what a great worker you would be. Your boss would love you. Your husband, your wife, like, does your wife need to always hound you to get your stuff done? And let me tell you, I'm getting pretty close to getting the close end of the basket. I'm getting closer every year, all right? She's shaking her head. I could get a ruler. We're getting closer. But what I'm telling you is this. Without a guide or a ruler, the ant is literally planning for the next year and gathering today what they need in the future. Most people can't figure out what they need today. And they're like, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And hey, what does that happen? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Shall the poverty come as that one that travaileth? And wants as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. Probably one too many verses. But here's the point. God literally says, look at this creature. Look at this ant. Without master, without ruler, they're already working for what they need in the future, today. They're working today what they need in the future. This is how we should be. You work today. If you have time today, There's this saying that literally, I mean, I heard all the time in the military, when you apply it to your life, it really changes. Do nothing tomorrow that can be done today. Do nothing tomorrow what can be done today. And let me tell you this, you get things done. You know, just a personal example, like, do you believe I waited until the morning of Thanksgiving to get ready to host half the church? I am not one who's like, I'll just wake up at 2 a.m. I'll just get it all done. No, it was like 4 days before I cleaned out a room. It was 3 days before I set up. It was 2 days before I bought food. And the day of, I cooked. You're like, oh, bite-sized pieces all in line. And I planned because I'm seeing this thing coming. So when things arise, problems come, I have to do other things. I have the time to do it, but yet everything comes through. That is how you plan to use your time. And here's the thing is, you're like, oh, that's so much work. Here's the interesting thing I have found with people that manage time and people that let time push them. The people that perhaps don't get as many things done always are busy. They're always stressed out. They're always like, I just don't know how to get anything done. Well, yeah, if it takes you 25 minutes to get ready to go to church and you start 15 minutes until you need to leave, you're stressed out and you're busy. You're going. You're like, oh. But if you started 2 hours before, man, I'm ready. Oh, you're not ready? I'll have another cup of coffee. Oh, we got 10 minutes until you're ready. Okay, I'll do my cat videos now. See, if you do the cat videos after the car's packed, after the everything's ready, you're not stressed out. You actually have time, and like you're not losing your hair over stress because you're already ready to go. Now, are you not getting the cat videos in? No, you're getting it in. But you're not stressed out when you stop. When you're like, look at the clock, go, oh, shoot, I got to get dressed and get, we got to get going. And, like, people get stressed out. And I'm like, what was the other 8 hours of your day after work being done? This is why we need to look. And here's the thing, the Proverbs 31 woman, I mean, if you read through this, I mean, she's buying, she's selling, she's making clothes, she's making food, she's getting the servants going, she's doing all this, she's making sure her family's taken care of. I mean, she's doing all these things. She's not waking up and like, how do I feel today? No, she has a plan on what she's going to do. In Proverbs 31 and verse 15, it says, she rises up, also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. This is what I'm saying. She knew she needed to wake up early to get things done. Why? She has maidens. She has servants. She has workers basically under her. She needs to make sure they're taken care of so they can get to work. Which means she needed to get up earlier to make sure that happened. She's what this is called is back planning. What I just kind of mentioned. Hey, when we go, church is at 10:30. You probably don't start church at 10:30. What do you mean by that? Well, I hope minimally you plan to be here at that time. But you have to travel. For me, I live the closest. Not that much time. So church at minimum would have to start at 15 after. Some of you got like 30 minutes. So church starts at what? 10? Well, shoot. Oh, thank goodness. Most of you showered. So now we say church started at 9:30. Well, maybe some of you were hungry. Maybe you got to be ready. You got to feed your kids. You got to get other things up. Nope, church started at 9. Wait, don't forsake the fellowship. We should be here before. Maybe actually say hello to each other. And hey, if you're part of the ministries, maybe get ready. You're like, oh, no. Church starts at 8:30. See, this is how people that plan and are not always stressed out. And when you ask, like, here's the thing. Here's the truth of it. This is a proven thing throughout, like, people that study human resources. 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. There's always beast of burden within an agency, no how big, no how small. Somebody's taking on the majority of the work. And how do they do that? Why do they do that? How do they continue to do that? It's because they manage the time. And there's some people, no matter how soon you tell them and how much warning you give them and no matter what you ask of them, it's, maybe I'll see. And other people that are just, I'll do the best I can. I'll see how I can fit that in. That's really the only two mindsets. And how it starts is, are you willing to work with your hands? And then are you willing to actually take some of your time and plan? Because let me tell you, you'll save a lot of time by spending time planning. Because then you'll know what you need. You aren't left. The times that you just run out and you're just confused what's going on is so less. And hey, sometimes it's just, I think I need to start working here. You just do that before. And if you run out, like you actually are done way ahead of schedule, well, watch your cat videos. Then, when you're ready to go, it's done. You can watch cat videos without the stress coming, like when you look at the clock and go, oh, I got to start running now. And here's the thing, Proverbs 31, I believe, is that way. In Proverbs 20 and verse 13, it says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thy eyes, and thy shall be satisfied with bread. It's like, hey, we shouldn't love just sleeping. Now, here's the thing, I'm telling you, go sleep. You need 8 hours a day, go sleep. Go do that regularly. What I believe this is saying is, you know, the other 16 hours of your day probably shouldn't just be break time. Now, here's the thing is, we had a holiday. I had you all over. I hope you had fun. We played games. We did all that. I'm not saying there ain't days like that, but I'm just saying if that is when you look at your whole week, you're like, TV, Instagram, Xbox, whatever it is, you know, like if it is just all this time and you go, wow, that's more than when I'm at work. All I'm saying, you might think, maybe I could change a few other things. Maybe I could fit a few other things in there. In verse 16 of Proverbs 31, and just stay there, I'm going to keep going back to it. Verse 8, she says, she considereth the field and buyeth it, and with her fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. And this is what I'm saying. Not only people that back plan, they're like, well, I'm going to start this task, so I actually need to get up this soon before get everything done, so I'm sure to be early and done and ready. She's looking at the future and going, you know, I can't do this all in one day. You're not going to go view all the farmland. You're not going to then plant the farmland. You're not going to get the fruit of it all in a day, are you? She's looking out months, if not years, of what she needs to do. And what does she need to do today, this week? Maybe it's just, let me go see what's available. What is the farmland available? What is that? And then with her own labors, she planted the vineyard. Either it's literally saying, I've heard this taken two different ways. It's just the labor that she has little plants and then she goes to the farm and spreads it out. Or it's literally from the fruit of her own labors because she's sowing, she's selling, she's trading, she buys this land herself. Whichever one you say, it is work, planning, and management. And let me tell you that, if you can't manage your time, you're not going to be able to manage what wealth, what assets, what resources you have. Because time is just a resource, and it's the one that you cannot fix in the past. You lose your car in a wreck, guess what? You can regain it. If your house burns down, you can build another. But let me tell you this, once your time has been burnt, you are never getting that back. And the older you get, the quicker it seems to go. It is a true statement, and I'm just telling you this, it becomes more and more critical. But here's the thing is, as a young child, you know, whether they look at it or not, I gave them this sheet, it's probably too many numbers, but I'll tell you this, if a child can learn to manage their time, what could they not get done in their lifetime? She literally plans out for years, and that's how you should be. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, it says, see then that ye walk circumspect, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what will the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What it is saying is understand. Redeem your time. Take the time that the Lord has given you today, this week, this month, this coming year, and redeem it. Look, do things for the Lord. Amen. Hey, why don't you do things for your, you know, maybe your work, your occupation. Do it for your household. Do it for your family. But let me tell you this, you mark off time, and if you have the time and you pre-planned, you know how much easier it is to go, you know what, we're going to go to the park, you know, Tuesdays, Thursdays. Not when you just wake up and you get home from a busy work day and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess we'll go to the park. No, you have it pre-planned. You're like, this is what I do at this time. I'm going to tell you right now, mentally, spiritually, it is so much easier if that decision has been made before that time. I'm not making a decision how I feel at that time because let me tell you, the flesh tells me no. Go sit down. Go do something else. You did it last week. You did it that time before. I don't need to today, okay? But amazingly, when you go by your feelings, it's never the day you feel like doing it.
Amen.
Or it certainly drops down by like 80%. So you make a plan of what you're going to do before you get to that. And man, you will see that you get more things done. And that's in all areas of your life. And here's the thing is, why I left in so many other parts, like be not drunk with wine with success, but be filled with the Spirit. I work with a lot of people. You know what they plan in the future? Maybe I'll get drunk on the beach. Maybe I'll go to this bar because I usually go to this bar, but man, next month I'm going to go to this bar. Man, you're just living life to the fullest, aren't you? Oh, man, maybe you won't remember where you went at this place. Good job. Like, and the Lord says, why don't you just be filled with the Spirit? And it literally says, speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which I think if we're taking this in the context of planning, and I know in this part it's just you refresh your mind, sing psalms under this. Hey, I want a good example of this is actually Brother Kutsar here. Do you know what's interesting? You know why this church is a little bit different? And now I see our home church is changing. We actually sing the psalms. Do you know why this church did that? It's because it fell upon Daniel's heart years ago. You know what? We should be doing this. He went home and practiced and learned and sought and found music and then had us learn it and sing it. And now other churches are doing it. Why? Because he did this practice where he says, you know, speaking to yourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we now have this tradition that now is spreading. And hey, isn't that what the Bible says to do?
Yeah.
Why? Because somebody decided, I'm going to sacrifice work, time, and all this for one purpose. I'm going to learn these songs. That is how things get done. That is how things change. That is how the world moves, by people that take time to do and focus on little things. And here's the thing is, many years ago, it seemed like a little simple things. Let's just learn one psalm. Now it's a tradition and it's spreading. And isn't that a good thing? It takes people that set all other aside. Now, I just to pull out anyone, but hey, a person that has many kids or all that, doesn't he have time to do, like he has his time being pulled in every other way, right? All of us do. But sometimes you have to step aside and say, I am going to do this. Learning a new language, learning songs, learning this thing that my dyslexic mind, like it's confusing. I don't know how people make this sound good, but they do. I have no, like, you all know, my musical skills, if we're thinking like RPG games, all my character skills did not get put into music, all right? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo is about the only thing I add to this church during songs, okay? That's it. So I take my time and I try to do other things to the church. But what I'm saying is this. People set their time aside and focus can do things that even change people not around us, is what I'm saying. Why? Because someone took the time, maybe not in this, you know, you could say OCD level of organization, but they said, I'm going to take time out of my day and do this to better, not just myself, but I think it'll be good for the church. In verse 18 of Proverbs 31, it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle go not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hand holdeth not the distill. Hey, she just works. Hey, it gets dark at like 4 now. Can you not accomplish anything after 4? I mean, how many years, centuries, millennia ago, amazing this person was able to find how to do a little bit of work after dark. Now, we just have lights everywhere. Technically, you can work on your roof if you really want it in the dark. I'm not recommending it, but headlights, lights, we can brighten the sky now. All it's saying is, why I want you to look at your work day. And here's the thing is, men, whether you, you know, I know you have varying hours, but just the standard, we work 40 hours. Well, then you got more than 40 hours off of work because you got the other 8 hours Monday through Friday, and then you got Saturday and Sunday. So you can almost can get 2 more full-time jobs in there and still sleep 8 hours a day. I'm not telling you to do that, but I will tell you this is that in the military, you know, the standard hours was 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for a year. Yep. All right? So when somebody else says, it's impossible to do 50 hours, I'm like, what? Dude, it ain't that bad. You get used to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to do that. None of this am I telling you specifically what to do. What I'm saying is, open your mind to think, I could probably fit, let's just say, 15 minutes of Bible reading in there somewhere. And if you do a fit, like I said, I'm a very visual person. So when I write out my time so I can see it and where it's really going, and I go, man, 15 minutes of dish cleaning a day, 15 minutes of yard work, you know, maybe 30 minutes, even 30 minutes an hour. If you look at the time in a week that it takes to do certain of these tasks, when you look at it visually, you're going to be like, it's really hard for me to say I can't fit that in, is it? It's just a different way to look at it, and that's why I wrote this out. In verse 20 it says, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. You know what's interesting is I see a lot of people that work and they go and they do a lot of things. They also somehow just have time to help others. I see some people that are just so stressed out and busy and they're just, I just can't get anything else done. And it's like, amazingly, other people can. Like, it doesn't always need to be this, but it's like, you know, simple things. Like, it's interesting to me, like, man, you do events, you do, you know, special events. It's like the same people over and over again that kind of handle all of this. And it's like, I don't know, sometimes I think to myself, like, man, this church, man, I seem like it's like ordered my life. I feel like it's done so much for me. I just feel thankful to have a place to come and gather and worship God. And then sometimes I'm here on a special event or a little bit early and I go, where are the nine? Has nothing been done for this? Has this church not done anything in your life? Like, is an extra hour that bad? Is it so much in your week? Where are the nine? But it's a, hey, other people that are like, dude, I just can't even get five more minutes in. I just don't know what to do. It's like, well, maybe sometimes we just need to self-reflect to see what we're doing. But hey, here's the thing is, the Proverbs 31 person, and I'm saying person, I'm not trying to go gender neutral, but today it's for both of you. It's not just for ladies. Men, you know, you can help others too. And hey, I've seen people do this, man. I've seen other people go drive across town, drive across state, to help people with car issues, you know, learning to drive, you know, helping each other, remodel houses. I mean, it happens, and that's great. Let us never forget, like, man, sometimes our week seems busy, and it's like someone asks for help. I bet you can fit it in there. You maybe rest next week, because sometimes the people that need help need it now, not a week from now when it's convenient. Yeah. And if you manage your time so you're not behind in every part of your life, it's not as stressful when things go awry and you have to fit other things in. But if you're just always, you know, this task, I can start 10 minutes before it starts and that's 3 days from now. I will not even do anything until then. You get behind, you get stressed out, you get worked out from that. And then you're not able to stretch out your hand to the poor. You're not able to, you know, give your hands to the needy nearly as easily as someone that manages their time. In verse 21, it says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know, here's just another thing. I just see planning throughout this. Do you think it's the snow has fallen? You're like, oh, shoot, we need coats. That is not what this says. She is not afraid of the future things that will happen because she's already taken the time to plan and done work now, literally with her hands. She has made the clothes for her family before the snow comes. Now, the snow is here, so if you're not ready, I'm sorry, but take this as a principle. Hey, that weird sound in your vehicle, you might want to address it before it falls off. It still turns on. It's good. And I'm that way a lot. What I'm saying is, can you not sensibly think of reoccurring problems that are coming up? And can you not solve those long before they come up? How less stressful are you if it's the summertime and you see Kohl's is having a sign for snowwear because, you know, they're in the summer, that's the time to buy winter gear? Then it's cold outside, my fingers are numb, and now I got to buy the overpriced stuff right now. It's a lot less stressful to take care of problems before the problems are absolutely upon you, is what I'm saying. And I believe that's clearly shown here in the Bible, is what they're saying. Man, this is a virtuous woman. And if that's what a virtuous woman would do, man, can't you do that in your own household? Look, I know the tarp that's keeping the sun out during the summer on the roof. You might want to fix that before the rain comes. I think that's just the principle taught here. You can identify, and here's the thing. If you look at this sheet, you can maybe put a few problems up on top here that you're like, I don't know where to fit this in, but I know I need to get through this. There's a lot on here, and I know it's really small, but hey, it's a lot of hours in the week, a lot of 15-minute blocks. But hey, you can use this to visualize, I know I need to address this in the future, and don't put off what can be done in the future, what you could possibly do today. Because you'd be amazed what 30 extra minutes of work leads to in the future. Because I said, like, if you do 30 minutes of work, but you take Sunday off, that's 3 hours. And you're like, 3 hours I could fit on Saturday. Thought it came up, you're behind. Next Saturday, oh, well, shoot, it's this party. Can't go to that. You're six, nine. It builds up a lot faster. But if you're doing a little bit of work, just come home, or when, before you go to work, you just do a little. You miss a couple days. You're already far, far, far further along than you would be in that mystical future date. I love, my grandfather had this. It was this little thing that said, to it. And it was round. And anytime I say, I'll get around to it, he's like, oh, well, here, you have that, now go do it. He had a collection of these little, like, coin-like things made out of clay that said, to it. And he would just, he literally gave that because he ran a shop of workers and people were like, yeah, yeah, I'll get around to it. He's like, oh, here you go. I don't know why that was stopping you. Get doing it now. I thought that was beautiful. He's like, don't do later what you can do now. Go do it. Yeah. And you'll be happy. Here's the thing is, another way you can read this, and here's the thing, Christian. Why don't you live for your future self? Now, spiritually, we're talking about eternity, but for your life? Man, do you every now and then get into a situation you're like, my past self screwed me. Like, I really could have had this done before now. And all the time you spent in this comfy seat and, you know, the mindless memes, and I'm calling myself out here, it's like, boy, that doesn't do anything in the day of adversity for you. As much relaxation and sleep as I had in my past, man, right now that means absolutely nothing to me. But having things done does. In verse 22 of Proverbs 31, it says, she maketh herself a covering, a taspries, her clothes, silk, and purple. Here's the interesting thing. So she's planning all this. She's going all this. You know what she also has time for? Little bit of me time. You read that verse? What's she doing? I've taken care of the family. I've planned for the future. I've got problems solved. How about me? It's there. I'm not saying to be a Spartan, self-sacrificing person 24 hours a day. You can't do anything for yourself. Proverbs 31 can stop and be like, you know what? I need a little, you know, cute dress. You know what? I need a little of this. Hey, you're like, man, I'm just going to go, man, I'm like, oh, I got my nice car. I got to go buff it. You know, whatever it is. It literally, here's the proverb. This is a wise woman. This is what you're looking for. She can take a little time to make something really nice for herself. Does God want you to just never do anything for yourself? No, go have your time. And hey, despite people don't realize this, I'm probably one of the most introverted people in this church. And if I do not spend a couple hours by myself with no one around, I go insane. You know how I fit that in? I plan for that. And it helps me now because, hey, if you're another introvert, you're like, I get really social anxiety if I'm around people all the time. Well, if I know, hey, at the end of the day, my last hour, I'm just spinning in a closed room door. Hey, for me, that works. But you know how I manage that? I have to plan for that. Because, hey, that's a fault, maybe a fault I have. If I'm just constantly around people continuously, hey, I pretty much go insane. But people are like, I didn't know you were introverted. Well, I'm not socially inept. Look, to be successful, you've got to know how to engage with people. You've got to be around people. And let me tell you this. When you go to work or you go to a party, that's not the time for me time. All right? You got to plan that around. You got to go do it other times. Like, you're going to go have a family activity. That's not the time to run away and hide. Okay? But many of us need certain things. Hey, Proverbs 31 woman needs to know that she's beautiful and has nice things. She is literally making stuff for herself. You have things that you need and things you may need to take care of so you can feel like life is worth living and going. What I am saying, though, is notice that this is framed between serving others and taking care of problems of your family. You have priorities. You are a priority in your life. It's not a bad thing to do some things for yourself that are for you so you feel the joy of God in your life and you can share that with others. But here's the thing is, notice that this is a verse in between serving others and family and strangers. And hey, she's still working to do these things for herself. It is a thing. And here's the thing is, why it's so interesting to me, and I'm going to tell you this. Now, it is not fair to this person I'm going to tell a story from because I just came back from a deployment from Afghanistan where literally 12 hours a day, 7 days a week is the minimum I worked. There are times things happen in the military. That's the minimum. That is the minimum hours I work. What was it, like 70? I forget the number of hours a week that is, but it's like, so I did, that's what you do 7 days a week. You just work. So when I came and I joined, I went to college. I was so bored taking over full-time amount of courses. I didn't know what to do myself. So I literally took a job with the college, and then I took over like a social club of a couple hundred people. I'd tell you about that later. And then I'm like taking over these things. Like, so I'm running social events. I'm running the veterans program I took over. So I'm leading like this other group. And then I just took on a job, not even for the money, just because I was bored. And I'm doing over the amount of work. And why I'm telling you this is, sitting in my one of my classes, I walked in. I'm sure a nice young lady. She's in college. And you can tell in public she's having a silent panic attack. And I'm like, now, if you think I'm rough around the edges now, you should have met me be unsaved and right out of the military. So it was very unnatural, but I was like, are you okay? And she's like, okay, I'm just so overburdened. I was like, okay, well, what's going on? She's like, man, I'm taking, I forget in college now, is it 25 is full-time? I don't remember. She's taking half-time full-time, so like whatever, like 12 credits. She's like, and the class is like, okay, you're taking two classes that are 2 hours a week, or four, over 2 days. Yeah, whatever. She's going to school twice a week, half-time. And I was like, man, okay, college is stressful. How's your family? She's like, oh, my family's really supportive, helping. I was like, oh, are you behind on rent? She's like, no, I live with my parents. They take care of everything. They even make my food for me when I go. I was like, oh, okay. I know being a pry, like, is your relationship life going okay? He's like, oh, no, my fiance, he just makes sure when I'm home, everything's done, and it's just so sweet. Everything's great. I was like, so the only thing you got going on is half-time, like, freshman or sophomore year college. Like, we ain't talking like postgraduate and things like that where you got to read like 5 books or something. She's like, yeah, I just never had to work so much in my life. I was like, oh, life's going to get way harder for you. Yeah. She's like, excuse me? I'm like, I'm not trying to be mean at all. Life is going to get really hard for you. And this is nothing. Like, you probably want to do more stuff now so life is a little easier in the future because I'm going to tell you right now, I take 3 times more classes than you, and I'm bored. Now, and I told her, like, hey, I was in the Army. I've done stuff. I know you're right out of high school. I tell you, you weren't in sports, and you didn't have hobbies, and you didn't do. She's like, no, I just kind of went home right after school. I was like, yeah, you're not ready for life. And you could have seen the professor go, hey, you know, you're doing the best you can, this or that. I was like, I'm not trying to be mean, but hey. Life is about getting stuff done. Let me tell you this. If you have so much me time that the thought of working, I mean, if this is like less than 6 hours a week is bringing you down, it might be time to change your attitude to be willing to work with your hands. Yeah. All right? And I'm just saying, and let me tell you this. During all the things I was doing and managing groups and going to work, doing full-time school, you know what I also did? Way too many video games. I didn't have church yet. I wasn't saved. But you know what's interesting is despite people are like, man, how are you managing these groups, going to work, doing school all the time? I was like, I don't know. I'm just used to working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when I went back into civilian society and you're all lazy, like, no. But I'm just saying the requirements of time is so much less in an American culture that when I got thrown back into it, I'm like, I'll just do a little bit more. And then I was still like, I was like, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'll play a lot of video games. On top of all that, and I was like, what do people do with their time? I think a lot of veterans think that, to be honest, but, and that's just the thing. I know we're running out of time, so I'll move through, but in Proverbs 31, verse 23, it says, her husband is known of the gate when she sitteth when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Hey, she takes care, like, she's like, hey, I'm going to manage this household, and what's my responsibility so much, I don't need the other people to look over this. They can go get other things done. And hey, man, you manage everything outside of the house so well that they can just focus on that. That's a dividing a task. But you know what? When one party fails, you know the other one has to step in, right? And then that takes their time out of other things. And let me tell you this. No matter who does something, if things get done, you have more time. And there's just saying, she manages so well, her husband can go become greater outside. And hey, you know what? That probably benefits the household more. She can probably buy more of that fancy silk. She can probably more provide that food that seems like it's coming from afar, which was mentioned verses earlier. She has this. Why? Her husband succeeds. She succeeds. The husband succeeds. The wife should succeed. The kids should succeed. The more you do, the more other people can do. And let me tell you, even in a church, if one person does a lot, and that leaves a lot of other time for other people to do a lot, and if everyone does a lot gets done. Now, when I say a lot, people are like, oh, man, I just don't know about that. It's like, you know, at times I wonder, like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, I feel like I do a lot myself. And then sometimes I feel like I need to do more. But when I really calculate it out, I think about it, I do about 2 more hours than anyone else. And I'm not trying to blow anyone else out. And obviously the Thompsons have come in and do more than that. But I'm just saying, 2 hours. 2 hours. And I mean, that could be helping teach or drive. That'd be cleaning the church. That could be other things. But when I look at this, if I mark out 2 more hours just dedicated to church and how much more gets done, I'm like, I could probably fit more, to be honest. I just can't get comfortable where I'm at. And I'm not telling you all to do that, but all I'm saying is, when you think of doing more and you actually visualize the time you have, you might actually find that you go, it's really not that much. And whether or not it's the church, because I'm going to tell you this, hey, you know, like, it blows us away. We all do this in different ways. We all have different interests. Like, hey, I have never came and set up a photo booth that is literally photo worthy, but I know someone who has. She's really good at it. You know what? There are times where, like, things come up. I'm just feeling lazy. Man, if we relied on me to get soul winning done on Saturday, we probably wouldn't go out that much. But I know the guests, they take that on. It's hours a week. And let me tell you, they're probably the most dedicated people. I mean, to that time, it's unquestioned. So I'm not saying people aren't doing things. But what I'm saying is when you look at your time and where you think, and like I said, do 1 week where I'm being honest with my time and then draw, whether you do it or not, what could I be doing with my time? You might find that you can learn skills and do other things. And what other things could you do? And hey, in verse 24, it says, she maketh fine linen and selleth, and delivereth the girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Hey, she has side hustles. If a lot of you are like, man, I don't know what to do with my time. Well, if it's not church, it's not that you feel it doing, are you ever going to regret if you get a side hustle? As long as you break even? I'm not telling you to put all your money into crypto because, man, I'm going to be rich. I'm going for Elon Musk rich because you're probably going to be broke. Yeah. But here's the thing is, it's already told her all the work she's done to make clothes. She's done all this. She's got a skill. And she's like, you know what? I do this for my family. A few things on the side. And here's the thing is, do you really need a lot to be a life-changing thing? Can you imagine if, like, because a lot of people are like, T, you do all this work and you make like $50 a week. A lot of families, I mean, that's more than you'll need in Christmas. You got 52 weeks, $50. I mean, that's a few thousand extra dollars. I'm not saying that's life-changing, but I'm going to tell you, that or cat videos, at the end of the year, which one is better? And let me tell you this. If you do something regularly over time that you're making money, you know what's going to happen? This is a forced thing. Hey, all labor, there's profit. All labor. And that's the key thing I'm telling you about. If you replace some idleness with labor, no matter what it is, because, hey, in this, it's sewing, tapestry. Imagine the other skills you get. You learn how to manage. You learn how to develop. You learn to see what needs to come in the future just by this hobby. She has a side hustle. Let me tell you that. It manages money. It manages time. It manages you make connections. She has to go talk to them and deliver to the merchants. She has to learn how to talk to people, how to find people, how to have people with better deals. It's like, man, this would actually improve all areas of life. Why? Because you took a productive hobby and you got rid of the cat videos. Or limited. I'm not telling you to get rid of it. It's so cute and funny. But does it need to be all your time when you get home? In all Proverbs 14, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tended unto the penury. Seeing the time, I'll leave you on this thought. This whole thing, when you look at this, and you visually look at how you spend your time, and you visually look how your time could be used, I bet you can find a few things that could be changed. And understand this, if you just change a little bit of time, it could be, you know, 15, 20, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, maybe a day. And you just like, I'm just going to learn this skill. Because in all labor there is profit. You're going to gain other skills by one skill. Hey, maybe you actually choose something you're bad at or you've never done before. And you're like, once a week, I am going to do something I have never done before. Why? It's going to be hard. Yeah, but a lot of people don't do things because they think it's hard. And if you're not scared to learn, because here's the thing is, you know, if you're homeschooling, don't you need to know how? You need to learn. Hopefully you're learning faster than the kids. You know, you got to stay like, I mean, I hope a couple weeks, but maybe a couple years ahead of them, right? So you're going to have to keep learning. And men, one of the things that bothered me the most, because I've seen people do this, they're like, I don't need to learn anything more in my life. I think I'm good. I'm in my job. I don't think I'll ever do anything. So I don't, I'm good. Like, that's like an abominable to me. Like, dude, you got the rest of your life. And let me tell you this. You're going to change with your knowledge and learn stuff. Here's the thing is, learn general knowledge. Because it's amazing to me how many people don't have a clue how anything works. Like, I'm not expecting you to be able to wire your entire house, but shouldn't you know where power comes from? Because some people don't. Like, I'm not telling you should be able to rebuild an engine, but you should probably know, that sounds bad. Right? Watching general knowledge, things outside of your interest. And here's the thing. You're like, well, you know, don't divide things in your head. Hey, we had a pie social. Every man was welcome to build pie. Some of you are like, eh, probably not that hard. You cut some butter into flour, you might realize this is the messiest, nastiest thing I've ever done. And if you haven't seen the aftermath of cutting butter into flour, you might learn, whoa, I got to take a shower after every pie I make. But it might be good for you to not be sad when you have to work with your hands. And it might be good for you to actually learn, like, my mother raised me at a different most. I learned, like, she forced every child she had to cook. She's like, it's an abomination. So it's weird to me when I find other people that boil water hard, can I forgot to open, put on the stove, blew up. Like, how did you survive so long? But all I'm saying is this. I'm getting off on track. What I'm saying is this. All labor is profit. It might be good for each one of us to go, you know what? As a kid, I was really bad at that, so I was fearful of doing that. Maybe go play around about, you know, basketball or, you know, whatever it is. It could be a skill. It could be cooking. It could be a sport. It could be like, man, I hate hiking up a hill, but I'm going to go do it because, well, it's hard. I got to learn something different. You know what? I'm really fearful of talking to people, but you know what? I'm going to try to do some trading. I'm going to go try to do this. Why? Learn to talk to people. Learn to do something hard. Get out of your shell. And you know what? In a couple of years, you might be thankful you did it now. Because think about your future self and work for your future self, not for the comfort of today. That's basically the main point. I hope this is useful. If you actually want it, I'll email it to you. If not, well, I hope you got something out of the sermon. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much today. Thank you for allowing me to preach this. I hope people found it edifying because, Lord, you've given us the time to be on this earth. You've given us a set amount of seconds that, as the clock is ticking away. Let us use that. Let's use it to glorify you. Let's use it to better ourselves. Let's use that to edify our families and to drive them forward into your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you want to take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 433. It's page number 433. It's page Page number 433 can be found in a reasonable amount of time.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Ryan, should please close us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this sermon, Lord, and I just pray, God, that you will work in our hearts to help us to be more mindful of the time that you've given us, and that we can better our lives for you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.